everybody, and I'm happy to be with you finally. So, and I'm asking God to keep us in this journey and open our eyes, both as a congregation and for me, to discover a new vision, a new way to work together. I'm sharing with you this piece from John chapter 21st, as we read the story, the last chapter between Jesus Christ on earth and John. And as we see the discipleship team, or the word, we can define this word as something very relational between two people. It's a relationship between the beginners and the experts. In the ancient world, the discipleship meant a relationship between a young student, or even the word they used, a boy. Not to refer to a gender only, but to refer to somebody who doesn't know and willing to know. A student or a learner, a relationship with an old man, who is normally called by the village or by the tribe, called as the wise person. In the ancient Middle East, and actually still even in some areas, the word for teacher applied for anybody who can pass their knowledge and skill to young generations. So it's not exactly the same word we use in our modern world today. It normally used was a carpenter, a builder, a farmer, somebody who has a specific skills, and everybody knows that they are very good at the skill, so they're going to send their kids, hopefully, to learn something from them. And it's very hard to believe, even sometimes families will send their own children, sometimes to be away for a year. This famous guy could be on the road and could be in another city, but they know it's very important for their children. The discipleship included a student, teacher, and a family. This is the ingredients about thinking about a discipleship. It's not only a personal statement, it's not only a personal commitment. Even this is very important, but still there is a lot of elements playing in this process. The teacher here represents the curriculum, or at this time the skill, which how they can pass it and offer it to the other people. The family here, they represent the commitment toward the teacher. We trust you, we believe you are not going to do harm to our children, and we believe you are a trustworthy person. And also the students stand for the early stage of wondering mentally and spiritually, what's this old people doing with me? Here's a family sending me, here's a new stranger guy is going to teach me. So it's a really reflection of what we can call today a wondering stage mentally and spiritually. What's going on? Why I'm here? What's this for? I can't understand any of this. So we can say discipleship is about a life journey that could start in many ways. We will decide to say our awareness is little, but hopefully someday we'll know more. We don't know enough, but hopefully one day we'll be in touch when God's call us. Sometimes God's message and God's call could be earlier, and we can't get it yet. But I believe God is not a pushy guy. God is not pushing us to rush to understand things. He knows the difference between us and the divine. He knows the difference between the limited mind and the full knowledge. And I think he loves that and respected that. So the real discipleship is start when our hearts and our mind meets the call of our teacher, Jesus Christ, to be followers, and understand that in every stage, and accept that. Do not be ahead of yourself, and do not be lazy. I think that's the message sometimes I hear from God. In other words, we can say it's a commitment that moves from one level to another, and from the service to the depth of the Christianity. It's good to do baptism, it's good to pay our money, it's good to do all these rituals and part of visible image of the discipleship. But that's not it. It's a deep relationship. It's a relationship shaped by heavy winds sometimes, and blind us by heavy tears we can have in our eyes. It's a discipleship not only dealing with the most successful and wonderful people, but with people even in the dark. The first reading we read from Matthew about the Great Commission. And I was wondering why Jesus kept this great command to the last time. Why didn't he say it that early? Why didn't he invest more time and tell people details? This is a wonderful and big statement. And I didn't have really a clear answer for that, but I will share my questions with you. And maybe that's the part of this journey, is not being bothered by the questions, but seeing God in the wonder and the question and the foggy road and unclear message, is this could be our God. Is this could be our road to learn and develop. I'm wondering about the Great Commission and why Jesus called his disciples for this complicated mission on his last day on earth. Was it because Jesus said, "The whole authority in my hand now, that's it"? I believe something more. Was it because he kept the best part to the end? Hey, it's a surprise. Here's what I'm giving. I believe in you. Here is a new piece. I forget everything happened. Here is a good piece. Go ahead and do it. Was it because he kept, as we said, the best part? But I think, was it because it was too much to understand? Was it too early to share? Was it too heavy to bear? Were they not mature yet? Were Jesus wondering about their capacity to carry and practice this great ministry? But here's the last question, which I think will resonate more with what I believe. Did Jesus believe in them more than what they believe in themselves? And here is another story we shared, and I'm grateful for how John closed his gospel versus the way Matthew closed the gospel. So Matthew is telling us interested, that's it, go do it, that's the mission. John is very relational, very personal, more engaged with how things cooking, how things going in behind the scene between the Jesus and the disciples. And I love the way he draw the story. Is this a story, John, you want to close about one of your close friends or disciples? This is a hard story for Peter. Maybe this is not a lot about triumph. This is not a lot about ideal society or ideal relationship with God. But I think it was about the reality and love. It was about being in touch with who we are and what we are dealing with, and also with our dream to go ahead and to do something different. Our story today is about a special disciples, Peter. And if you are Catholic, you will celebrate a lot of things about Peter. And if you are, different groups, you will celebrate Peter in a different way. But today I want to share and celebrate this unique disciples, because he struggled a lot. Not because of what he did later or early. Not because he was the initiator and the first one to say, "I know Jesus more than others. I know how to do this." I am always the initiator, the first one. This is all good, kind of like leadership characters. But really I'm interested in his struggle when he became in touch with himself. That could teach us something about discipleship and how could we be. We hear from Matthew a great mission commands, and I think from John we're getting a lot of details and description. Here is a model of relationship between Jesus Christ and a great disciple. And here's, I'm going to tell you why he's a great disciple. We just read from the scripture about the last conversation between the teacher, Jesus Christ, and his disciple, Peter. And it is very important to remember why this conversation was very important and intense in many ways. I think it was intense first because this message was very important because of the timing. If you remember, this message came after death and after Jesus' resurrection. It came while the disciples were going through the despair, grief, and 100% gave up on their mission. The second, this conversation was very important because it had a strong message that carries a lot of emotions, remind Peter of things maybe he didn't like to talk about, and touched old wounds. It's appeared as a scars, but it's really, it's bleeding under. And he knows that. He was the only one who's bleeding from inside. It carries a lot of emotions and responsibility toward many things. After Jesus' death on the cross, all his followers said that that was it. That's the end of Jesus as a person and as a mission. Between Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter and other disciples went back to their old life. Let's go back. We're done. This new road didn't take us to a new place. It takes us to more disappointment. It takes us to an end. It's very hard to kill a dream. And it's very hard to kill a hope for a new life and a new mission. While Peter was busy on the lake fishing and maybe was remembering the old days with Jesus Christ, which he had a good moments, a moment he can celebrate, and also moments maybe Peter will tell us it was also bad moments. Peter was a man who betrayed his master 3 times. And we are today not here to talk about Peter, the bad one who betrayed his master 3 times. But we are talking about when bad things happen. How do we deal with it? When bad things are stuck in our memory, in our life, how could we manage it and deal with it as a people of God? Well, Peter, as we said, was really, he betrayed his master 3 times. But the Bible tells us he prayed with tears, and according to the scripture, God forgave him. It's not always an easy road for what God is really communicating with us and what's really we acting on. Yes, that God forgave him, but it didn't get to him yet. It didn't get to him to believe that's the way I need to act. He was still living in his past. Jesus came to restore Peter's hope and faith in himself. While Peter was thinking bad about himself, Jesus came to sit and eat and talk with Peter. And it's very important to think about the image of God. Jesus didn't change his behavior because of what his disciples did. I am the same one. I am the same one before you betrayed me, and I'm the same one going to act with full love, full compassion, and full caring for you. It's not going to be 75%. It's going to be totally 100%, because that's who I am. So it struck me when said Jesus sit and eat and talk with Peter and told him, I still believe in you, Peter. In this last conversation, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? And this is maybe, you call it superstition, you call it whatever, but always when you have a bad luck with one thing, it's always we don't like to do it. It could be a number, it could be a sign, it could be anything just for it, as much we could be rational, but always there is something we didn't like to remember. And number three was one of the words for Peter. Do you love me, Peter? And I think really Jesus was not trying to play a psychological game with Peter. What I think was really trying to get to, did you hear what I meant by my message? So there is two approaches. When we are wounded, we think everybody's searching for our wound. When we are really worried about something, we think everybody's digging for what we are worried about. But that's really our approach. And the other side of the aisle, it's totally different. And Jesus was talking from a different approach. I'm not here to remind you, you betrayed me three times, and that's why I'm saying three times. I'm saying, do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's like when you talk to somebody speaking second language English like me, you want to be sure I got the message. You understand? You want to be sure you, as much as you can repeat, the point is you want to be clear, I understood. And I believe that was the bottom line in this conversation between Jesus Christ. Do you love me? And the amazing thing is Jesus was very specific with naming Peter, and this is very rare in the New Testament, is naming Peter by his name and his family name. Which means, I know you. I remember where I picked you from your lake, from your fishing career. I know who's your father. I know who's your family. And I like you the way you are. And here I am. But Peter, don't play the game with me of not knowing who I am. And this is why the last thing I am, and this is my imagination, I'm imagining is Peter was the last response. Pause. It's not like, like every time it's kind of just the technical part of you want to do the best. You want to say the best answer. You want to impress everybody. You want to say like what's really people is looking and expecting from you. And it seems what's really the reality? What's really inside you? And I believe God is interested in what's inside us and not what will please other people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't feel bad about your history, because your history is a strong part of who you are. And when during the whole process with this church, to the interview and everything, and as I mentioned, with many people, but not everybody, I didn't take the process very seriously in the beginning. And sad to say that, but that's the reality. And as things were developing, many things really touched my heart. And I felt like there was something spiritually going on here. This is something, this is not coincidence, this is not something normal. And the thing really I will never forget and caught my heart and pulled me here to this position was these people, the committee, they were interested to know about who I was before I came to the United States. The whole package. Not only, I know I understand that, trying to make your way, learn as much as you know, you go to American seminaries and all these, and make your own way. But the reality is to cut off the rest of your life. It's not reality. And it's not favorable. It was like, they are interested to talk about my ministry at home. But that's different. It's a different culture, different language, different... Yes, but that's part of who I am. That's how I understood it. And that's how I understand when Jesus is communicating with us. He's interested in everything, even in our wound. Not to open it, not to make it painful, but really to be in touch with that. When Peter was asked the third time, do you love me? Then Peter answered, Lord, you know everything. I'm not going to fool you. If you think I fooled you many times, this time, this is real. You know if it's a cliche, you know if it's just a rabid response, you think, you know it, I am tired of that. I'm tired of covering up. I'm tired of pretending to be somebody I am not. I'm just going to be myself. From Peter's response, we can understand that he got it when he said, Jesus, you know everything. He meant, you are my Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a surprise because Peter was the first one to say it earlier. But things was different and through the spiritual experience. He meant it. He walked the way. I know what that means to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what that means to be the divine. I know what that means to be the Son of God in the flesh. Peter was living in a shame because of what he did when he denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus' response was not blaming or reminding how bad Peter was. But he told Peter, I care about you and I trust you. And you are forgiven. This is the way Jesus wanted to make disciples. And that's the way the followers and the disciples of Jesus Christ should do the same. In other words, Jesus was saying, I am not searching in your past. Jesus is not trying to investigate you to put you in troubles. I'm searching for Simon, son of John, here and now. I am focused on you now. And the message from us today is to know God is not interested in digging in our past or in our present to find out how bad we were, but he's searching for us, with us. When Jesus met with Peter and called him Simon, son of John, he was expecting from Peter to know Jesus Christ as the Son of God. God is interested in you and me as a person and as a child of God. We are not just a commercial vehicle for God. We are precious in our own self. God is helping us to believe. We always have the chance to start a new beginning. It's only you're stuck on your own jail, Peter. Nobody's all the time remembering what you did in the past. It's now became your own problem. God has always another chance because he is full of forgiveness and grace for everybody. God has invited us to be friends with him and Jesus, and we are called to invite others for this discipleship. God trusts us. He's inviting you and me to take care of ourselves and others. And this is the story of a discipleship. Of people who believed in something, who shaped by many elements, but in the end, they cannot give up because it's part of who they are. Amen.